continent of Africa, the motherland. The visuals are superb. The economic chapters help people understand what is going on in Africa financially. Motherland is the most powerful documentary on Africa, fusing history, culture, politics, and contemporary issues. Africa's great civilizations, because the story of Africa has been systematically denied to us for two critical reasons. The first is slavery. The second is colonialism. Europeans had to invent an Africa as a place of emptiness and barrenness and backwardness in order to justify the enslavement of 12.5 million human beings who were shipped across the Atlantic Ocean between 1501 and roughly 1866. And then after slavery abolished the slave trade, European colonial powers looked at a big empty map of Africa and carved it up like you would carve up, as I said earlier, a pizza. They just passed out slices. They'd say, okay, Germany, you want Tanganyika? Okay, Belgium, the Congo? The stories of Africa and its Africans must be woven into the story of the history of the development of civilization. And I want everyone, every person, every school child to understand from day one that they are citizens of the world. The real history. The history of empires rising and falling and civilizations rising and falling that people in the West know so little about. These are sophisticated societies. The first iron technology in the world was developed in Africa in 1800 BC, even earlier than in India and the Middle East. And here's another amazing thing. Almost all of the gold used in Europe between 1000 AD and 1500 AD, it was mined in one of three regions in West Africa. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And I want to just set it up for you with the poem, I've Known Rivers, by Langston Hughes, and this is Langston reading it, to take us back to Africa's great civilizations. And again, this is an 8-hour film, gems that you will not have seen or experienced any place else. And I am so eager for you to have these. And you will when you call 516-620-3602 this morning and support WBAI, a $150 pledge, and then just ask for Africa's great civilizations. People are standing by to take your call now. And I must say, Africa and its people are the most written about and the least understood of all the world's peoples. This condition started in the 15th and 16th centuries with the beginning of the slave trade. The Europeans not only colonized most of the world, but they began to colonize information about the world and its people. And in order to do this, they had to forget or pretend to forget all that they had previously known about the Africans.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
When Fez was reaching its peak, a new center of scholarship emerged 1,200 miles away on the southern shore of the Sahara Desert. It became a kind of sister city to Fez, and no less legendary, the fabled city of Timbuktu.
Since the 14th century, Timbuktu has been a place of mystery in the imagination of the West, a metaphor for the remotest place on Earth. But Timbuktu has become one of the great cities of the medieval world, an unparalleled center of scholarship, learning, and trade.
Timbuktu had its own counterpart to Fez's Karawi, the Sankore Mosque.
Timbuktu really attracted a lot of very learned scholars, and the Sankore Mosque in particular became really the university of West Africa for Muslims. So if you were an Islamic scholar and you were living in a village in the Gambia, let's say, one of your aspirations would be if you really studied hard and you did well, you might go up to Timbuktu, and that was like the PhD.
The heart of Timbuktu's intellectual life was its libraries. Between the 14th and the 17th centuries, they acquired hundreds of thousands of books, mostly written by African authors working in the city.
The first time I visited Timbuktu and saw those astonishing libraries with their wealth of scholarly text, I wanted to cry. I grew up being told that Africans never wrote books. Yet here was this astonishing treasure trove of extraordinary handwritten manuscripts. Many of them were religious, but there were also books about math, astronomy, philosophy. I felt incredible pride and vindication.
Books produced in Timbuktu became valuable objects in themselves, prized all over Africa and beyond.
Leo Africanus, he talks about Timbuktu, and he mentions how it's such an important center for the book trade, and how books are sold, and they sold for very high prices, and so on.
There's a manual that has everything that a learned scholar in the bend of the Niger River in the 1400s needs to know. How to keep your wife happy, how to get in and out of a canoe, how to help a woman who isn't producing enough milk to nurse her child. It's a window onto all of the concerns and preoccupations of an African Muslim society in the 1400s.
Timbuktu became one of the principal cities of a rising new power in West Africa, the Empire of Mali. Mali was founded around the year 1240 by a legendary warrior king called Sanjata, who grew his small provincial kingdom into the largest state that has ever existed in West Africa.
When King Sanjata assembled his army, he ordered his local chiefs to surrender their titles. Such was the reverence accorded to the king that his subjects were said to approach him on their knees. Mali would become a great empire with political, military, and religious power concentrated in the figure of the emperor.
The Empire of Mali takes the mantle from the Empire of Ghana insofar as it comes to control the gold trade from West Africa, but it doesn't just take over, it expands. So this is the time when the gold trade really reaches its height and when the kind of wealth and opulence of the West African imperial states are greatest.
Through its control of the gold trade, Mali became a superpower of the medieval world. But gold was just one of its products, exchanged through a complex commercial network that traversed the desert.
Even though the Sahara Desert looks empty, it's actually, they've got trading communities located within the desert, and there are stages of trade that go back and forth.
When we talk about the trans-Saharan trade, it gives the sense or the impression that goods were transiting through the Sahara to get to markets to the north. But there's a sense in which the Sahara was a world in its own, and a very integrated world.
One of the most valuable items in the trade originated within the desert itself. Salt.
Salt is the refrigeration of the ancient world, right? So that you can't, you know, have meat or fish or any kind of, you know, protein products last more than a couple of days unless you salt them and smoke them. Salt is almost impossible to find in sub-Saharan West Africa, except when people are making sea salt.
In the Sahara, salt was mined, and mined in forms that were like slabs. It could be carried for hundreds of miles on the back of camels.
Another commonly traded commodity made salt mining even more profitable: slaves. Slaves were captured as a result of military action, such as war or sometimes raids, then sold to Berber traders.
There were some slaves that were incorporated in the trans-Saharan trade in the early period. There's actually not just an export of trade of slaves from sub-Saharan Africa in small numbers, but there's also an import of slaves into sub-Saharan Africa from North Africa and Europe, also in small numbers.
And they would settle the slaves around oases to grow cereals and other crops. Slaves also worked in gold mines. Much of the surplus that went into long-distance trade was actually production based on slavery.
It wasn't only commodities like gold, salt, or slaves that moved across the desert. Traders also carried with them treasured personal possessions. The British Library in London holds one such object, a saddlebag Quran.
Gus, what's a saddlebag Quran?
A saddlebag Quran it's a loose-leafed Quran that would fit into a bag so that it could be carried with you wherever you went.
Who would have created this beautiful edition of the Quran?
Well, this is by one hand. These are breaks to particular bits in the Quran, and so they have illustrations in them. So it's someone who understood that this had to be not just accurate, but also incredibly beautiful, because it's about uplifting people, not just through words, but also aesthetically. So this was for families, for people who would travel abroad, and they wanted to have a Quran, but they also wanted something where they could take leaves out, they could refer to it, they could look at it.
And share them,
exactly. This would be something that, through its accumulated use, could become more important.
So like the Gates Family Bible, which was started by my great-grandmother.
Exactly.
Merchants could afford such luxury objects in part because of the ever-increasing global demand for Mali's gold.
Probably something like 3/4 of the gold that's going into North African and European markets in the medieval period is coming out of the Empire of Mali.
Throughout most of the Middle Ages, Europe was on the gold standard, and without African gold, the whole currency of Europe basically would fall. They were already melting down Roman coins in this period to try to make up in part for this lack.
Mali's role in global commerce brought it recognition, respect, and envy from afar. This is the Catalan Atlas, a map dating from 1375, probably owned by King Charles V of France. On its southern edge is Mali, personified by its greatest ruler, the legendary emperor Mansa Musa.
Gus, it's such a surprise to see a black man on a map from the 14th century. How did Mansa Musa get on this atlas?
this was a known figure in Europe. This was someone who had influence, not just within Africa, but beyond. And he was interested himself in seeing beyond his own kingdom.
And he's represented with this, the gold orb,
yes,
gold crown, gold scepter.
Yes, and it's a fantastically wealthy kingdom. It has some of the biggest gold mines in the region. It also has copper, it also has salt. If you look at this map, it gives a sense of how it's right at the center of a nexus of trade routes that link it right across the continent. But it's not just a continent, it's beyond.
Mali's control of a large share of the world's gold supply, especially Europe's, gave Mansa Musa wealth beyond compare. It's often claimed that Mansa Musa is the richest man who has ever lived.
Newspapers constructing top 10 lists of the wealthiest people of all time, they almost always put Mansa Musa first, and some of them, you know, will say that his net worth adjusted for inflation is something like $400 billion in today's money.
In 1324, Mansa Musa's notoriety grew exponentially thanks to reports of his largesse and generosity during his Hajj, the pilgrimage to the Muslim holy city of Mecca.
His pilgrimage that he makes in 1324, 1325, you know, there are different accounts, but the usual account is something like 300 camels laden with gold, in addition to all the people that are traveling with him.
Ibn Khaldun, the great author working at Fez's Karawane Library, wrote an account of a person in Mansa Musa's entourage.
"We used to keep the Sultan company during his progress and converse to his enjoyment. At each halt, he would regale us with rare foods and confectionery. His equipment and furnishings were carried by 12,000 private slave women wearing gowns of brocade and Yemeni silk."
Mansa Musa and his retinue stopped at every town between Mali and Mecca. It was said that Mansa Musa's largesse knew no bounds. As he made his way to Mecca, he handed out extravagant amounts of gold to high-ranking officials and working people alike. And according to legend, his generosity inadvertently destabilized the economy of Cairo. He distributed so much gold that its market value collapsed and took years to recover.
Africa's great civilizations, which has been suppressed. But we're raising it up. We're going on a journey to Kenya, Egypt, and beyond to discover the origins of man, the formation of early European societies, of early human societies, pardon me, and the creation of significant cultural and scientific achievements on the African continent. We're traveling through the Atlantic Age and exploring the impact of the Atlantic trading world, giving rise to powerful new kingdoms, but also transatlantic slave trade, learning of the revolutionary movement of the 18th and early 19th centuries, including the advent of the Sokoto Caliphate. Great African civilizations. We're going to the city of Ife. The origin story of Ife lies at the heart of the Yoruba culture. After death, the Onis were worshipped as gods, and the artworks called Ife heads were likely used as icons of power. Oh, learn more of Africa's great civilizations with this film package that we have for you for your contribution this morning to WBAI. Go with us to the city of Gondar. Prior to the establishment of Gondar, the capitals of Ethiopia moved seasonally, whereas in Gondar, settlements remained in the same place for hundreds of years into the 18th century. Given this stability in terms of place, the empire's power was consolidated. Learn about the city of Gondar, Africa's great civilizations. Learn about the city of Timbuktu. The heart of intellectual life was its libraries between the 14th and 15th and 16th and 17th centuries. They acquired hundreds of thousands of books, mostly written by African authors working in the city. Great African civilizations. The city of Marrakesh, Africa's great civilizations. When it was founded in the year 1070, Marrakesh was a center of politics and law, but it soon began to attract merchants and craftsmen from the surrounding regions. Learn more on Africa's great civilizations when you call 516-620-3602. That is 516-620-3602. Your pledge of $150 this morning will get you the 8-hour series, Africa's Great Civilizations, which takes a look at the history of Africa from the birth of humankind to the dawn of the 20th century. It is breathtaking. It is a journey through 200,000 years of history, from the origins on the African continent of art and writing and civilization itself, through the millennia in which Africa influenced the world. And as part of the great African civilizations included therein are the films 500 Years Later by Owen Alak Shahada and the film Motherland. Filmmaker Shahada has a background in engineering and early on distinguished himself in jazz and music videos and film music. He was inspired by Malcolm X and Kwame Nkrumah to make his first independent film 500 years later, which picked up 5 international awards, including the UNESCO Award for films that dared to speak this truth about slavery. The filmmaker has a unique African aesthetic which combines strong colors with what he calls a 4-part harmony of on-screen info and visuals, narrative and score. The film 500 Years Later and the film The Motherland, also by Owen Alik Shahada, truly, truly one of the magnificent Afrocentric films ever made about the continent, with scholars and activists in it from people like Molefi Asante, Amiri Baraka, Harry Belafonte, Amakal Cabral, Malcolm X. Kamal Nkrumah, Malana Karanga, Haki Mahabuti, Kwame Nkrumah, all in the film The Motherland, the powerful documentary of Africa, fusing history, culture, politics, and contemporary issues. Motherland sweeps across Africa to tell a new story of a dynamic continent, from the glory and majesty of Africans' past through its complex history. Africa as you have never seen it before. All of these multiple award-winning films compiled under the title Africa's Great Civilizations. 516-620-3602. 3602, $150 pledge. This is my last opportunity to help raise funds, to increase our membership, to help raise funds for the extraordinary radio station that I have the honor to work with. And we have limited numbers of this particular package, which we are calling Africa's Great Civilizations. The documentary films redefine Africa in our public consciousness so that listeners come to recognize the unique and profound accomplishments of the civilizations and kingdoms on the African continent, going all the way back 200,000 years ago. We're doing 200,000 years of African history. And we start with the mitochondrial Eve from which we all descend. And then we go to the African migration, 80 to 15 years, 50,000 years ago. We were all raised with terribly negative stereotypes of Africa, and in part they were invented to justify the slave trade. Divest ourselves of these notions. African kingdoms were sending diplomats to the Vatican, to Portugal, etc., in the late Middle Ages and the Renaissance. We have no concept of that. And trading across the desert. Most of Europe's gold between 1,000 and 1,500 came from West Africa. Three mines in West Africa. Who knew that? The richest man in the world, if you can Google him, is Mansa Musa, who was emperor of Mali. And so much more to learn. Call 516-620-3602. We now return while you continue to call 516-620-3602. It is indeed gratifying and supremely important that you do support WBAI. And do remember, we are all Africans. We're all descended from Africans, literally. I want that history, all the details of that to be known. What people in previous generations did, how they influenced the world. Africa's great civilizations. Africa's great civilizations. Let's return while you continue to call 516-620-3602 and ask for Africa's great civilizations. A $150 pledge will get you this thank you gift, the gift of life, the gift of education, the gift of information, the gift that rids ourselves of the colonization of our mind. We are building bridges to Afrocentrism. Call 516-620-3602. Ask for Africa's Great Civilizations. Your pledge of $150 will get you this superb series. This series is talking about Africa, the whole continent. That's a punchline in American politics. In BAI language, it is the center and origins of civilization. Africa's great civilization. The 8-hour series that explores the history of Africa from the birth of humankind to the dawn of the 21st century. A breathtaking, breathtaking journey. Let's listen.
Africa, see yourself, know yourself. Mighty, ancient, beautiful Africa. Creator of the human being, of music, of dance, of language, speech.
It is the original home of human life. It is the birthplace of civilizations.
Not only the cradle of mankind, but a cradle of technology. The oldest technology in the world is stone technology. It's dated back 2.6 million years ago.
When I think of Africa, I think of Africa in its glorious period. I think of the great civilizations in West Africa, in Southern Africa, and East Africa. When I think of Africa, I think of culture and civilization, great kingdoms, great technological achievements in architecture, in engineering, in medicine, in philosophy, in literature that have stood the test of time. That is what Africa means to me.
Africa is the oldest civilization on earth.
Africa is the mother of all civilizations. All of them came from our loins.
If you go back and you look at what Africans did, the first people who crossed a river, the first people who decided how to build shelter, the first people who decided geometry, how to count, the names of the days of the week, the first people who created forms of architecture, the first people who gave to the world a sense of family, the first people who gave to the world some notion of ritual. These were African people.
What cannot be debated, what cannot be questioned, is that there are historical relics now across the continent which conclusively prove that African civilizations have been among the most advanced in the world.
We've got physical landmarks, we've got pyramids in what they call modern-day Egypt or Kemet, also Sudan. If we talk about Zimbabwe, great Zimbabwe, many of the wonders of the world that we'll find in the African world, then we will see that the peoples that lived then created great structures, they created great empires, but they left that as a legacy for us today.
When people talk about the longevity of African nations, you have to look back at the history of Africa. Kemet lasted for 4,000 years, and then Ghana lasted from 300 BC to 1242 when it was finally defeated by Sundiata, the king of Mali.
Everybody knows that Sundiata Keita was the founder of the Mali Empire, which was in a territory from the Atlantic Ocean to the Lake Chad. All this territory was the Mali Empire.
This is an extremely important story to understand, for us to tell people that Africa has persisted. It has sustained itself. There were values and traditions, and there were great institutions that were created that allowed people to live and to experience these kinds of things for so long.
When we are coming to modern human ancestors, all the peoples, their home is from Africa, specifically from Ethiopia.
Africans went out to populate the world. And of course, in that process, over centuries and centuries and billions of years, mankind and humankind was transformed into all of its different expressions and forms.
And we discovered Homo sapiens equal to 160,000 years ago. He became the grandfather of the whole peoples of the world. He became the father of Far East, Asia, Europe, America, and so on.
Africa had a special place in the scheme of things, including its strategic location. that in fact it's the most central of all continents in terms of location on planet Earth, because the only continent that's cut almost in half by the equator, the only continent which is traversed by both the tropics of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn, and has these two oceans surrounding it, with extensive implications for our contact with Asia through the Indian Ocean and our contact with the Western world through the Atlantic Ocean.
Motherland!
We didn't start being African because we got to America, and we can't stop because we're here. We're African forever. African reset in the 60s, and that's organization. It's not just an identity, it's also a destiny, and therefore a duty. We will be African forever. Therefore, we have a moral obligation to make this the best life possible and to give our lives to making sure we leave a legacy worthy of the name in history, African.
Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And why then naturally it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree.
No matter your nationality, you have the identity of an African. I'm only mimicking poorly Peter Tosh. Basically, there's a long ancestry. There's a long history. You see, think of the fact that if you have African blood in you and you're in the West, for example, you somehow inevitably always get discriminated against, one way or the other. So you might think you're not African, etc. You were born in the, you know, Caribbean, West Indies, in England, in Europe, America, etc. But you still have that sense of connection.
Africans are people of African descent, historically, and who have ultimately African cultural roots.
What really made me start this mission was I did a speaking engagement in the United States during Black History Month. And there was a little boy there. I was dressed like this. His name was Jonathan. And I said, he said, "Oh, you look pretty." I said, "Oh, thank you very much." And I said, "Well, you know, I live in Africa. I live in Ghana." I said, "And you're an African." He said, "Oh, no, I'm not African. You see, in Africa, you have wars, you have famines. They don't take care of their people. So I am definitely not an African." That in itself really showed me the importance of exposing our young people to their roots.
They say literally, I'm not an African. Come on, look at your color. You are an African whether you like it or not. And that's, from Malcolm X, that's the phrase I like for those who don't think they're an African.
And I think this is only one
I wanted to come out of Africa's great civilizations, Michael, with that drumming, which I actually recorded in Prospect Park, where they have the drumming circle every weekend, the nexus, the umbilical cord to the motherland that is there, Africa's great civilizations, which you were listening to some clips from. I was thinking about our own great historian, W.E.B. Du Bois, who tells us always Africa is giving us something new. On its black bosom arose one of the earliest, if not the earliest, of self-protecting civilizations, and grew so mightily that it still furnishes superlatives to thinking and speaking men. Out of its darker and more remote forest vastness came, if we may credit many recent scientists, the first wielding of iron, and we know that agriculture and trade flourished there when Europe was a wilderness. Dr. Du Bois tells us further that nearly every human empire that has arisen in the world, material and spiritual, has found some of its greatest crises on the continent of Africa. It was through Africa that Christianity became the religion of the world. It was through Africa that Islam came to play its great role of conqueror and civilizer. Africa, great African civilizations. We have been presenting a two-hour special in this, the final week of our fund drive and Wednesday edition's final effort to raise funds for WBAI. We have been presenting this two-hour special, which takes you through a breathtaking look at the history of Africa's great civilizations from the birth of humankind to the dawn of the 21st century. Our journey takes us through 200,000 years of history, from the origins on the African continent of art and writing and civilization itself, through the millennia in which Africa and Africans shaped not only their own rich civilizations, but also the wider world. Do call 516-620-3602. The number to call is 516-620-3602, and you will get the 8-hour film anthology, Africa's Great Civilizations. Your $150 pledge, which goes to us continuing to do the programming that works to bring home, which we have, Oscar Lopez Rivera, the Mandela, really, of Puerto Rico, to bring home political prisoners like Sekou Odinga, to do the programming that defeated U.S. imperialism in Vietnam, to do the programming that helped defeat the apartheid system in South Africa, to bring you the programming that stands with the water protectors, our indigenous sisters and brothers at Standing Rock, to do the programming that works to push for 15 and a union and to fight for labor rights beyond that, to do the programming that fights for LGBTQIA rights for over 60 years, to do the programming to fight for reproductive rights and against sterilization abuse of our sisters, to do the programming to fight against environmental racism and climate change, to do the programming to oppose the U.S.-led and financed wars around the world, to do the programming that champions the BDS movement and the self-determination and right of return for the Palestinian people, and so much more. Call 516-620-3602. Ask for Africa's Great Civilizations, the 8-film set, which includes, along with Africa's Great Civilizations, the film by Owen Alik Shahara, 500 years later, the film, The Motherland. Oh, there's so much riches there. There's so much identity to learn. And there's so much of the perversion of narrow nationalist Western-centric thinking to cast off as we educate ourselves, as we become internationalists, as we understand Africa's great civilizations, which have been suppressed, and their contributions to the world. Let's go back and listen while you continue to call 516-620-3602. $150 pledge for this priceless set of films that really have been put together from around the world just for you. $150 contribution for BAI for Africa's great civilizations this morning when you call 516-620-3602.
On the Zimbabwe plateau, one African kingdom dominated the flow of gold from the West, and the rulers on the Swahili coast became its international brokers. This extraordinary African kingdom was extremely well placed to profit from the great resources it controlled.
That way, to the West, people mined the gold. And that way, to the Northeast, people bought the gold. And sandwiched in between sat Great Zimbabwe. Location, location, location.
Great Zimbabwe lies close to the most extensive gold workings in the ancient world. At its peak, as much as a ton of gold a year was extracted from this region. Incredibly, half the gold coins in medieval Europe were struck from African gold. But it wasn't just gold that made the rulers of Great Zimbabwe wealthy. You didn't have to mine the gold to become wealthy. Trade could be a gold mine too. Great Zimbabwe was known far and wide as Africa's El Dorado, a place shrouded in mystery and wrapped in tales laden with gold. The original site, which became the king's palace, began on the rocky precipice around 1200 AD. From here, his kingdom unfolded before him as far as the eye could see. Over the following century, the city spread into the valley below. The city of Great Zimbabwe filled this entire valley.
Thousands of adobe buildings, clustered around larger stone enclosures, housed more than 15,000 people.
Who were the people who created this great civilization that prospered, flourished here for more than 200 years? Its builders, almost certainly, were Shona speakers, ancestors of many of today's Zimbabweans, and heirs to an older civilization that stretched back to 900 AD.
Coming in to the city from the countryside, we'll first go through areas of fields. Women would be the farmers doing most of the farming. And then as you come into the city, you'd be walking in among hundreds and hundreds of houses. And as you wend your way past all these houses, you might eventually see the great buildings themselves. And the most notable is the Great Enclosure.
The Great Enclosure sat at the heart of a city that covered nearly 1,800 acres. Its ruler controlled a kingdom that spanned much of present-day Zimbabwe and surrounding countries.
This is the largest pre-colonial structure in the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. It was a statement of majesty and power, wealth, but also architectural genius.
Few people know this site as well as its former director, Dr. Edward Matenga.
My God, this is astonishingly beautiful, is it not?
Absolutely, and it's the pride of all Africans.
The king and his family, would they have lived here, or what would have happened here on a day-to-day basis?
Ordinarily, the king would have been living on top of the hill, on the summit. The king's great wife lived in this enclosure.
Number one wife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the queen had her palace, and the king had his?
Well, absolutely.
Why do they need the wall, do you think?
Prestige. The person who is living in this enclosure is very important.
So a wall is the signature of power, of authority, of dignity?
Yes.
The Great Enclosure is comprised of over 1 million stone blocks, but absolutely nothing binds these walls together.
Those high walls that are connected together without any mortar show an indigenous distinct architectural development in southern Africa.
The massive outer wall is over 800 feet long. Rising in places, to the height of a four-story building. And ingeniously, it combines with an inner wall to form an intimidating passageway.
I love these curved walls.
The theory is that because of social stratification, these passages would force people to move in single file.
To protect the people who live here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The combined effect of this monumental architecture remains a marvel to behold, one of the world's great wonders.
The kings have the wealth to hire skilled masons, and we can see as the years go on in Great Zimbabwe, the masons get more and more skilled. The latest buildings are the most magnificent, the most wonderfully put together. And the living areas of the royal family would have mostly have been more within those particular areas. They wouldn't have been right out with the hoi polloi of the society. This would have been a place of having to get access to be able to even to go in there.
Life in the stone enclosures was a world apart from the everyday reality of those living in the crowded streets beyond. This valley would have been bustling with the king's enterprising subjects and filled with the smog from thousands of cooking fires. Herds of livestock grazed in the valley.
Archaeologists have discovered so many bones of cattle in this valley that it could be nicknamed the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Oh, there's so much to learn. You're listening to our film anthology this morning, or clips from it, Africa's Great Civilizations. And our time is limited. The number of packages that we have are as well. And I want to make sure that all of them get used up, because the stories of Africa and Africans must be woven into the story of the history of the development of civilization. I want everyone, every person, every school child to understand from day one that they are citizens of the world and the greatness of Africa, which has so long been suppressed. And the African proverb speaks so well to what we're trying to do this morning. Until the story of the hunt is told by the lion, the tale of the hunt will always glorify the hunter. The story of Africa's great civilizations, the story of Africa, which has been systematically denied to us for the reasons of first slavery and the second of colonialism. Europeans had to invent an Africa as a place of emptiness and barrenness and backwardness in order to justify the enslavement of the 12.5 million human beings who were shipped across the Atlantic Ocean between 1501 and 1866. And then they had to, after the abolition of slavery, the slave trade, European colonialist powers looked to carve up Africa as though it were a pizza pie, and they just passed out the slices to Germany, to Belgium, to Great Britain. Germany, you take Tanganyika. Africa's great civilizations. When Africa turns up in a history book, it's too often because there's just a cache of ancient bones which have been found there. Maybe there's a mention of mitochondrial Eve, but there is so much more. It is not just our DNA that originated in Africa. It is our very beings, along with the culture that evolved over millennia. So we travel all over the continent this morning, visiting sites where writing and art evolved, where centers of population and power evolved along with them. 516-620-3602, that is 516-620-3602, $150 contribution, no more procrastination. This is the final week of our drive. This is the final day of fundraising for Wednesday edition. Go to your phone now. Ask for Africa's Great Civilizations. That is Africa's Great Civilizations when you call 516-620-3602. Let's go back and listen to some more of the 8 hours of majestic cinematography, 8 hours of film genius on Africa's great civilizations. Let's whet your appetite a bit.
You can't pay me back. You can't pay me back for that missed opportunity.
It's foolish to let your oppressor tell you that you should forget about the oppression that they inflicted on you.
To be African means to own my connection with my history without apology.
Songs we would never hear, histories we would never know, art we would never see, because the European had the capacity to destroy and didn't have the moral restraint not to.
Just like there was a process to make a slave, and a process to make a colonial African, there has to be another process to remake the African slave in the African colonial mind.
And many of us think that we're emancipated. Well, we're not emancipated. Our actions are determined by the mental prison walls that we continue to inherit. And unless we begin to understand where we're coming from, what we have been, where we have gone, what has happened to us, we're in no position to change our condition.
Indeed, Africa's great civilization, that was just a short clip from 8 hours of film genius on Africa's great civilizations for you this morning when you contribute your funds to keep WBAI keeping on to do the great and powerful work that it does to represent, yes, to represent your voice, your ideas, your thoughts, your aspirations for social change and uplift. That's what BAI is here to do. Call 516-620-3602. That is 516-620-3602. $150 contribution takes Africa's great civilizations out of being suppressed and brings them to you in the fabulous cinematographic genius of our brother Owen Alik Shahada, the film series Africa's Great Civilizations, which contains the films The Motherland and 500 Years, Africa's Great Civilizations. Let's go back and listen while you continue to call 516-620-3602 in the time that we have left and while we still have some of these film packages left for you to get.
If you go back and you look at what Africans did, the first people who crossed a river, the first people who decided how to build shelter, the first people who decided geometry, how to count, these were African people.
What cannot be debated, what cannot be questioned, is that African civilizations have been among the most advanced in the world.
Africa is the richest continent in the world with the poorest people.
It has the longest history. But Africans are generally the ones who are most ignorant about their own history.
You cannot have independence when you leave in place the machinery of your oppression.
Historically, if we talk about the slave and the slave owner was not African. The slave was an African. And therefore today, if we are talking about the masses of the workers are the Africans, we need to change that. Africa should be left on her own to carve out a democracy that suits the prevailing conditions of that particular country.
NGOs will not save us. UN agencies will not save us. World Bank will not save us. IMF will not save us. Salvation is within.
Who inflicted this scar on the African continent? Who is responsible for it? And who continues to inflict that scar on the African continent?
You're listening in these final moments to Africa's Great Civilizations. You can call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602 for Africa's Great Civilizations, the 8-hour film anthology, the finest of its kind that has ever been put together. And do remember that until the story of the hunt is told by the lion, which it is in this case, the tale of the hunt will always glorify the hunter. We glorify, we raise up this oppressed Africa's Great Civilizations. Let's listen just to a little bit more while you continue to call 516-620-36. Let me do that again. 516-620-3602. Please call. $150 pledge. Ask for Africa's Great Civilizations. Let's listen to just a couple of seconds more, and then we'll give you the number again to call.
It's one of the most charismatic and enduring characters in all of African history. A fearless warrior queen and formidable politician who remains an icon in Angola today. In her lifetime, she ruled over two powerful kingdoms, Ndongo and Matamba. Her name was Zinga. In 1622, after several years of fierce fighting with the Portuguese, Zinga was dispatched by her brother, the king, Golombandi, to negotiate a peace settlement with the Portuguese governor, but not to surrender. When Zinga arrived at the meeting, she wasn't accorded the treatment she expected as a representative of an independent kingdom. What Zinga did next has become the stuff of legend, a symbol of African pride and resistance in the face of attempts European domination.
Well, you're just going to have to get Africa's Great Civilizations to find out what Zinga did next against Portuguese colonialism, etc. Call 516-620-3602. This is one of the most stunning visual cinemagraphic packages and journeys through Africa's Great Civilization that has ever been made. The film, Africa's Great Civilizations, that is covering 200,000 years of African history and its great civilizations. The film, 500 years later. The film, The Motherland. What a stunning, stunning package. When you call 516-620-3602, I'm Mimi Rosenberg for Wednesday Edition. Ask for Africa's Great Civilizations. It's worth
the while. Hi, my name is Vlada Bystrova. When I'm in New York, I always have my radio tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI. And when I'm home in Ukraine, Kryvyi Rog, I listen on the web at wbai.org. Меня зовут Влада Быстрова. Когда я в Нью-Йорке, я всегда слушаю мое радио на волне 99.5 FM WBAI. И когда я возвращаюсь домой в Украину, город Кривой Рог, я всегда слушаю радио онлайн WBAI.
We're not talking about economics tonight.
We are talking about the survival of a race of people. That is all that is at stake. We are talking about the survival of black people. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. And you must understand that. Now, why is it necessary for us to talk about the survival of our people? Many of us feel, many of our generation feel, that they're getting ready to commit genocide against us. Now, many people say that's a horrible thing to say about anybody. But if it is a horrible thing to say, then we should do as Brother Malcolm says, we should examine history. The birth of this nation was conceived in the genocide of the red man. Genocide of the red man. Of the red man. In order for this country to come about, the honky had to completely exterminate the red man, and he did it. And he did it. He did it. And he did it where he does not even feel sorry, but he romanticizes it by putting it on television with cowboy and Indians. Cowboy and Indians.
Hello, everyone. I am Christine Blasdell, and that was just a tiny little snippet from a masterful collection that we're going to be talking about this hour from the Pacifica Radio Archives. That was, of course, Stokely Carmichael in 1968. And that is from The Voices That Changed the World. This is a 2-for-1 USB drive from the Pacifica Radio Archives, well over 1,000 hours. I believe the last I heard, it's close like to 1,300 hours of content from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And it includes such important collections as the Black History Collection, the Women's History Collection, Pacifica Radio Archives audiobooks, collection, as well as Grammy restored recordings, exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, and so much more. And this hour, again, we're going to be playing just a tiny portion of this. This USB drive, by the way, is 64 gigabytes. Again, 1,300 hours of content from the Pacifica Radio Archives. This content, these audio recordings, have been masterfully remastered. Saved from the tapes, so to speak. In the olden days, they used to record on tapes, on reel-to-reel, and it's a very painful process to modernize that. That has been done from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And this collection, actually, just one of these, the collection on CD, was offered many years ago from the archives, and it was offered for a donation of $5,000 just for these recordings on CD. $5,000. And this hour, we're going to be offering this collection. Not only one, you're going to get two. You're going to get two of these for a mere $200 pledge. It's incredible. $200 donation. Remember, too, folks, that we are a nonprofit radio station. You donate to a nonprofit and use it as a tax write-off. So a great deal of your donation can be tax deductible this hour. Now, we're going to be, again, playing clips from throughout this collection. We're going to focus in just a little bit on Black history, on the Black History Collection. And in particular, we're going to be hearing up next Dr. Martin Luther King. And this is from a recording that was done in London in 1965. And we're going to find out a little bit about the background history of all that after we play the clip. But I want you to have a little bit of an idea of just the historic nature of what you're going to find on this USB drive. And again, you will get not one, but two of them for a $200 pledge. Now let's listen to Dr. Martin Luther King. Again, this is from 1965, and this is available in the Voices That Changed the World 2-for-1 USB drive.
This is one of the things that is basic in the nonviolent philosophy at its best. It gives one a way and a method of struggle which says that you can seek to secure moral ends through moral means. It also says that it is possible to struggle against an evil, unjust system with all your might and with all your heart and even hate that unjust system, but yet you maintain an attitude of active goodwill and understanding and even love for the perpetrators of that evil system. Now, this is the most misunderstood aspect of nonviolence. And this is where those who Don't want to follow the nonviolent method, say a lot of bad things to those of us who talk about love. But I still go on and believe in it, because I am still convinced that it is love that makes the world go round. And somehow this kind of love can be a powerful force for social change. Now, I'm not talking about a weak love. I'm not talking about emotional bosh here. I'm not talking about some sentimental quality. I'm not talking about an affectionate response. It would be nonsense to urge oppressed people to love their violent oppressors in an affectionate sense, and I have never advised that. When Jesus said, love your enemies, I'm happy he didn't say like your enemies. It's pretty difficult to like some people. But love is greater than like. Love is understanding creative, redemptive goodwill for all men. Theologians talk about this kind of love with the Greek word agape, which is a sort of overflowing love that seeks nothing in return. And when one develops this, you rise to the position of being able to love the person who does the evil deed while hating the deed that the person does. And I believe that this can be done. Psychiatrists are telling us now that hatred is a dangerous force, not merely for the hated, but also the hater. Many of the strange things that happen in the subconscious, many of the inner conflicts are rooted in hate. And so they are saying love or perish. This is why Eric Fromm can write a book entitled The Art of Loving, arguing that love is the supreme unifying force of life. And so it is wonderful to have a method of struggle where it is possible to stand up against segregation, to stand up against colonialism with all of your might, and yet not hate the perpetrators of these unjust systems. And I believe firmly that it is through this kind of powerful, nonviolent action, this kind of love that organizes itself into mass action, that we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation and the world into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. Certainly, this is the great challenge facing us.
And that was Dr. Martin Luther King in London in 1965, talking, not about a soft, gooey love, but a love of brotherhood, a love of humanity, and a love that speaks out and holds those accountable, speaks truth to power. That was a small, tiny clip from a phenomenal collection, and I'm so happy to have in studio with me, joining me, the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, Mr. Mark Torres. Hello, Mark.
I am so happy to be here, Christine.
And this is, I'm trying to convey to listeners the amazing collection that we have, that we're offering in this fund drive, and in this hour, the volume of voices like Dr. King, like Malcolm X, like so many people. I thought it was originally 1,000 hours, and you corrected me.
Well, what happened was we actually offered this for the first time during the Pacifica Radio Archives national broadcast. We didn't really know what it was going to be, how much we could really stuff on there. When we finished stuffing,
right,
it turned out to be over 1,300 hours. So it's 300 more hours. You're going to need about 4 months
to get through all
straight, 24 hours a day to get through all of these materials. Now, with every gift, you're going to get a printout of everything that's here. We're also giving you a digital Excel spreadsheet, because if you want to search it.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah,
if you want to search it by name, by archive number, by
brilliant,
a bunch of different things, you can do it that way.
So if you wanted to just listen to the audiobooks,
that's right,
like we were talking about, there is included in this USB and this very special 1,300 hours of content from the archives. Included is one of my favorites is the actual reading of 1984 by George Orwell. That is like a 12-hour reading, isn't it not?
Yeah, it's 13 hours. And we also have George Orwell's biographer at the end of the 13th hour in 1984. And he spoke about what George Orwell was all about. And he actually fought in the Spanish Civil War.
Wow.
With the original fascist, Franco.
Right.
So he had an up-close and personal look at what fascism was like, and he left his comfortable home in middle-class England to go fight against the fascists in Spain. And he got to see the dynamics of what was going on. And it was from that experience that he drew on to write 1984. Unfortunately, he died almost like right after it was published. But the resonance of the impact of this book is felt today, especially today.
Yeah, the sales, I think, since the election, too, I think sales of 1984 have also gone up quite a bit.
Well, you know, this particular reading, though, is Charles Morgan, the old KPFK morning show host, together with voiceover genius June Foray, did like the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon shows. But
she was Natasha.
Yeah, but she also did, she's been in comedy and voiceover work since the 1950s. She's absolutely amazing. And it's not a radio drama. It's not a straight audiobooks read. It's somewhere in between, using amazing classical music, marching music, you know, military music.
Oh, it's like,
and it really sets you in.
It's a movie. I call it like a mind movie. Okay,
it's really
a mind
stunning
movie, because it's done so well. And folks, we'll play some clips from that, because it's one of my favorite pieces ever written, and the way that it's done. And they were able to put that together because of your donations, because of your support, because we are not brought to you by the military industrial complex or pharmaceutical companies or, you know, any of that, or the banking institutions. We are only able to broadcast and to bring you these voices, like Dr. Martin Luther King, like Malcolm X, like so many of the people that we're going to be playing clips from. The only way we're able to do that, Mark, is by people picking up the phone and calling support. And this hour, we wanted to give
them...
How
many people?
I want everybody. I want everybody that's listening to this to pick up the phone. But we wanted to give them something very unique and very valuable. And now this collection, I know, because many years ago, I've been here a long time, many years ago, this collection of audio, these archives, all these different collections, was offered for $5,000.
That's true. Something
and five it was, grand,
and it wasn't even. I don't even think it was this massive.
No, it was. That was only 1,000 hours,
yeah.
Not over 1,300.
Yeah.
And it was all on CD, and it was like, I think, in a case, and it was.
Oh yeah, it was in a lockbox.
Yeah, and it was $5,000, and so. So folks are going to be able to get that same content, but more, and they get it on a very handy USB drive, along with a companion printout
and an Excel spreadsheet,
so you can access it. But even more, you're not going to give them just one. They're going to get two.
Yeah.
And they're getting two of these drives.
Yeah. They're great for gifts. They're great to share. I can't tell you, we had over 800 people call us across the nation for this. People are calling up really anxious about it. They were saying things like, oh my goodness, the students today need to hear this. I'm going to give this to my college-age son or my college-age daughter.
Or high school.
We're going to share it with a college, a high school library. You know, there's so many ways that you could take advantage of this incredible history of these historic figures in their own voices. I mean, it's the rarest collection there is in audio of this kind. And you can get it right now. What's the number here?
Exactly, Mark. That phone number that you want to call is 516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602. Give us a call right now. We have phone answerers just rushing in to answer the phone calls. Please call 516-620-3602.
And we're going to make it easy for you. If you can pledge $200, not $5,000, just $200, we will send you not one, but two of these USB drives, Voices That Change the World. It features everything from there's the Black History Collection, the Women's History Collection, the Audio Books Collection, Grammy Restored Recordings, Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, so much more, so much material. We're going to just try and give you a little bit background on it, but it's a $200 pledge. So if you call up right now, put on your Visa, American Express, or MasterCard, remember, a great deal of your donation is tax deductible, so you can get a hold of these two. You get them two for one right now by calling
516-620 516-620-3602. Please call 516-620-3602.
Some of the greatest spirits that have ever walked on this planet are included in this collection, massive collection you cannot find anywhere else. Noam Chomsky, Ray Bradbury, Alice Walker, Allen Ginsberg, June Jordan, Gore Vidal, Lena Horne, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Huey Newton, Rosa Parks, Paul Robeson, Nelson Mandela, Billie Holiday, Lily Tomlin, Helen Caldicott, Betty Davis. You've got...
Yeah, it's amazing.
You get, again, that incredible reading of the Mind Candy, too, the Mind Movie Candy of George Orwell's 1984. We're going to play clips from that in just a bit, but we want to get the phones lit up right now.
How many people do we need to
call in this hour? Let's have... Well, in the whole hour, I would like 20 people calling up and getting this gift. If you can call up and pledge and support, and you want to be an angel this hour, remember, if you want a gift, say you want a gift. Say that you want this USB drive. You get two of them for the pledge of one. If you just want to do a straight out donation as an angel and do $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, do it right now. Remember, it's a tax deductible contribution.
Once again, 516-620-3602.
Now, the goodies, the mind, the ear candy is all inside this collection. So let's go. I want to go back again to another snippet from Dr. Martin Luther King. This is from 1957. Do you know the background on this clip that we're going to play at all?
I do. He was invited to speak at Stanford University. He was somewhere in between a villain and an unknown figure in 1957. He hadn't been quite labeled a communist yet.
Right.
Stanford University flies him out. They want to hear about this person who's preaching about nonviolence. I mean, not since Gandhi has there been a figure that was completely committed to this tactic, which early on with Malcolm X, he had a difference of. Later on, a few years later, they came to an agreement. But this is really early on. This is one of the earliest recordings of Dr. Martin Luther King, 1957. Stanford University, Pacifica Radio was there to record this.
Wow. Wow. Let's listen now to Dr. Martin Luther King. Again, this is from 1957, and this is available to you. This is just one tiny, little, tiny snippet of over 1,300 hours of history from the Pacifica Radio Archives, yours by calling
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
You will well remember that it was in the year of 1619 that the first slaves landed on the shores of this nation. They were brought here from the soils of Africa. Unlike the Pilgrim Fathers who landed at Plymouth a year later, they were brought here against their wills. And throughout slavery, the Negro was treated in a very inhuman fashion. He was a thing to be used, not a person to be respected. He was merely a depersonalized cog in the vast plantation machine. The famous Dred Scott decision of 1857 well illustrates the status of the Negro during slavery. For in this decision, the United States Supreme Court said in substance that the Negro is not a citizen of this nation. He is merely property subject to the dictates of his owner. With the growth of slavery, it became necessary to give some justification for it. It seems to be a fact of life that human beings cannot continue to do wrong without eventually reaching out for some rationalization which ends up clothing an obvious wrong in the beautiful garments of righteousness. And this is exactly what happened. And the men of the slave owners face the danger that forever confronts religion and a too literalistic interpretation of the Bible.
That is the danger that religion and the Bible, not properly interpreted, will be used as instruments to crystallize the status quo. And this is exactly what happened. And so it was argued from pulpits across the nation that the Negro was inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. And Paul's dictum became a watchword, "Servants, be obedient to your master." And one of the ministers had probably read something of the logic of Aristotle, and so he could put his argument in a form comparable to an Aristotelian syllogism. He could say all men are made in the image of God. That's the major premise. Then comes a minor premise. God, as everybody knows, is not a Negro. Then comes a conclusion. Therefore, the Negro is not a man. This was the type of reasoning. This was the type of reasoning that prevailed. Living under these conditions, many Negroes lost faith in themselves. Many came to feel that perhaps they were less than human. The tragedy of physical slavery is that it always leads to the paralysis of mental slavery. So long as the Negro accepted this place assigned to him, this subservient attitude, a sort of racial peace was maintained. But it was an uneasy peace in which the Negro was forced patiently to accept injustice and exploitation. It was a negative peace. It was not positive peace, because true peace is not merely the absence of some negative force, but the presence of some positive force. True peace is not merely the absence of tension, but the presence of justice.
That was a clip. I know. goosebumps on that. This is Content 2, folks, that you're not going to find anywhere else. This is that was Dr. Martin Luther King in 1957, before he spoke out against the war in Vietnam and really became an enemy of the state. I mean, it was one thing for him to talk about civil rights and, you know, the effects of slavery, the effects of racism and bigotry and the violence that was. I mean, let's face it, in 1957, it wasn't safe to be a black person anywhere in this country.
Right.
Really, because the racism was so bad. And yet, and what his words, what he's saying is so relevant to today, with the stoking of racial division and just, I mean, as we see with our current political system as well.
Yeah, right? If we're divided, we cannot defeat the 1%. And they are pitting us against each other. And right now it's very successful. I was just taking a look at the hate crimes that happened in this last week. And it's shocking what's taking place. Just documented hate crimes that are taking place. It's very scary that we are having to relive a situation that we had hoped we had already gone through 50 years ago. So we can learn from the wisdom of Dr. Martin Luther King. The only way we can do that is if you listen to him in his own voice. And you can get that on this jump drive, 1,350 hours of the prime curated selections from the Pacifica Radio Archives. Great audio going back to 1949. It's literally a PhD in social history by getting this collection and sharing it with your family and friends and maybe in a place of education.
I highly recommend that. You know, imagine just pick a school, you know, maybe in the South somewhere, okay? Or just pick something. You don't even have to know it doesn't have to be in your child's in your neighborhood. It can be somewhere where it is needed. In this collection, again, folks, this is an insane deal that you're getting. It is available for the first time this year. It's available for the first time for less than $5,000. It is a $200 pledge, over 1,300 hours of content that includes so much from the Black History Collection, the Women's History Collection, the audiobooks, the Grammy Restored recordings, exploration. There is the Native American Studies, which has all the stuff about the American Indian movement and John Trudell, and what is happening now in Standing Rock is just a reflection and an extension of what happened then.
Yeah, we have one of the original occupations of Alcatraz Island. We have the entire radio-free Alcatraz broadcasts that were done every day to talk about what the treaties that have been broken, land that had been stolen, with treaties, documents signed by the president, the Senate, the United States government, that gave Native Americans rights to many lands that have now been retaken over because it was discovered that there were gold and other precious materials, from uranium to oil to gold, you know, all of these resources found on Native American lands and then re-co-opted. So this struggle has been going on for a long time, and you can trace this history. We only have two lines open right now, so if you get a busy signal, please hang on. A $200 donation will get you the 64 gig jump drive with 1,350 prime curated programming from the Pacifica Radio Archives, and you get two of them.
Two of them.
Keep one, gift one, gift two.
It is an incredible gift. And again, the names of the people that are featured in here, everything from Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, John Coltrane, Nelson Mandela, Gore Vidal, Lena Horne, Lily Tomlin, Helen Caldicott, Betty Davis, Alice Walker. You have folks like Dick Gregory, of course, Ed Asner, a dear friend of ours, Joan Baez, Alan Watts. You have the Alan Watts collection in here.
Alan Watts collection.
This is a huge collection. Alan Watts is one of my favorite people. But you have the entire collection of Alan Watts, the spiritual collection of this genius brain. That is included, and not for $5,000, not for $2,000, not for a grand. You know, even if it was $10,000, it wouldn't be enough money for all the work that went into it, all of the sweat and tears and pain and, you know, joy that was put into these over 1,300 hours. You're getting it for a $200 pledge, and you don't get just one. You're getting two. It's a twofer, okay?
That's an incredible deal. The number to call, though, is 516-620-3602. You can also pledge securely at WBAI.org. Give us a call, though. We have phone answers answering the calls as fast as they can at 516-620-3602.
And also, I'm going to put the bat signal out there for my angel. If you can pledge at the $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 level, please do it now, and you will be able to use that as a tax write-off. But you got to do it now. You got to pick up the phone, but you got to call right now. Okay, here it is.
516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602.
Not $5,000 pledge amount you have to do, but just $200 now. Mark Torres, director of Pacifica Radio Archives. I am very stoked about this. These next clips, because we were talked about that one of the things, one of the many, many collections that you have in here on the USB drive that you get two of these for, is the audiobooks collection.
It's really an incredible collection, from a celebrity reading of War and Peace, Leo Tolstoy's classic book War and Peace, on its 100th anniversary, with amazing celebrity readers like Fay Wray from the original King Kong, Dustin Hoffman, Mel Brooks. I mean, it's just and Leo Tolstoy's granddaughter reads the introduction.
Wow.
In the original Russian version. So we have that. We have Ralph Ellison's celebrity reading of Invisible Man, his greatest work, with LeVar Burton. There's so many great stars in there. Let's see, what else do we have? We have War and Peace takes up three pages. There's so many.
It is War and Peace.
I mean, oh my goodness. It's really incredible. But we have James Joyce, The Dead. We have The Body Snatchers, The Alexandria Quartet.
But you have, what's my favorite one in there?
Your favorite one is the 1975 reading of George Orwell's classic dystopian novel, 1984. It was just written up in this magazine called Open Culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's been streaming like thousands of views over to our website. But the independent review from Open Culture magazine is that it's one of the greatest readings of this book ever. And he's got versions from 49, 53, 1965, like real early versions.
Ever.
This 1975 version is really special.
And I want to reiterate to everyone listening that your donation today, a great part of it is going to be tax deductible. So it's pretty much a win-win situation. You're donating to WBAI, helping us keep vitally important programming alive and well during a time in our history that we have never seen before. With the Trump administration firmly in place and radical changes happening almost daily. I mean, daily tweets coming out that are so shocking to the system that we need WBAI. We need Pacifica Radio more now than ever. And so your donation to this radio station, yes, you're going to get a wonderful tax deduction. But more importantly, you're supporting really the absolute lone voice that needs to be heard right now. Young people need to know what is going on and what they can do about it. The number to call is 516-620-3602. You can also pledge securely online at WBAI.org. But if you can give us a call right now, you're going to get an incredible offering from the Pacifica Radio Archives. Two USB drives. So one of them you can have for yourself, another one you can share with a young person. Donate it to a school or library. The information, the voices on this USB drive is so important right now. And we want to get it out to you so you can get it out to your local school, library, or a friend. The number again is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. We're going to play a few clips, some of my favorites. And I want you to think about this. First of all, when you hear this, it's exactly what's happening. It is exactly what's happening in our world, in your life, what is going on, not just politically, but I mean, literally what's going on right now in our world. It's scary, but at the same time, there's something actually really, really beautiful about exposing talking about this too. You don't feel so all alone.
And also it gives you a path to standing up.
Yes.
Before we get to this point, which we're going to have to do a lot of these next 4 years.
I think so.
This is like a path for success, full struggle. The phones are jammed. If you get a busy signal, please hang on.
Right now.
$200 donation and you get two of these 64 gig jump drives with over 1,000 hours, 1,350 hours of history, voices that change the world.
And I'll tell you, this is the greatest value. I've worked here for 15 years. I've never seen, this is an incredible value. And you will get both of those USB drives. It's a twofer right now. Don't wait, though.
516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602.
And I need an angel to call up and pledge $1,000, $5,000, $10,000. Do it right now.
Right now.
We're going to listen really quickly to a clip. Again, this is from 1984, and this is about the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, boy.
The Ministry of Truth, many true in newspeak, was startlingly different from any other object in sight. It was an enormous pyramidal structure of glittering white concrete, soaring up terrace after terrace, 300 meters into the air. From where Winston stood, it was just possible to read, picked out on its white face in elegant lettering, the three slogans of the party. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. The Ministry of Truth contained, it was said, 3,000 rooms above ground level and corresponding ramifications below. Scattered about London, there were just three other buildings of similar appearance and size. And so completely did they dwarf the surrounding architecture that from the roof of Victory Mansions you could see all four of them simultaneously. They were the homes of the four ministries, between which the entire apparatus of government was divided. The Ministry of Truth, which concerned itself with news, entertainment, education, and the fine arts. the Ministry of Peace, which concerned itself with war, the Ministry of Love, which maintained law and order, and the Ministry of Plenty, which was responsible for economic affairs. Their names in Newspeak, Many True, Many Pax, Many Love, and Many Plenty. The Ministry of Love was the really frightening one. There were no windows in it at all. Winston had never been inside the Ministry of Love, nor within half a kilometer of it. It was a place impossible to enter except on official business, and then only by penetrating through a maze of barbed wire entanglements, steel doors, and hidden machine gun nests. And even the streets leading up to its outer barriers were roamed by gorilla-faced guards in black uniforms, armed with jointed truncheons.
That was a clip from the reading of George Orwell's 1984, the USB drive that you're going to be getting. Actually, you're getting two of them in Voices That Changed the World for a mere $200 pledge. You get, what is it, 13 hours of that?
13 hours.
13 hours plus 1,300 other hours of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the entire history of the civil rights movement, of the Native American movement, of the struggles for women's rights, for, you know, oh my gosh, all of the music that you have on here, the comedy that you have on here, the spirituality, Mark, you have the Alan Watts collection. You have so much, over 1,300 hours. This by far is the best offering I have seen at Pacifica Radio, and we have it available to you right now. The phone lines are all very busy, so please be patient. You don't have to pledge $5,000 like you used to back in the day. You pledge just $200, and you're going to get not one, but two of these USB drives, 64 gigabytes each.
That phone number that you want to call is 516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602. Give us a call right now. We have phone answers just rushing in to answer the phone calls. Please call 516-620-3602.
And they were talking, he was talking right there about the Ministry of Truth. And it, 1984, George Orwell's 1984 is more relevant now than ever because the Senate just recently quietly passed the, here's the quote, the air quotes, Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act. Do you see how on television that everybody's all up in arms about fake news? Oh, this fake news. And isn't it interesting that it the language is also so vague? Basically, it is the government is going to tell you that this news is the real truth. And anything else is going to be passed off as disinformation or propaganda. That smells to me not only a lot like Big Brother, but of complete control and stifling of dissent, the stifling of different analysis. Pacifica Radio is a progressive nonprofit radio network. I wonder where we fall in on this disinformation and propaganda.
We're going to have our hands full, ladies and gentlemen, and
yeah,
you best be prepared. And the best way to be prepared is by knowing our history. The Pacifica Foundation has been broadcasting 20 years before NPR even started. So the programs in our collection are unique. There's nothing like them in the world from 1949 until the present, and we're still recording 24/7 today as we speak. But as I flip the pages, when I look at some of the voices that are here, James Baldwin, Angela Davis, we have Holly Neer, Eduardo Galeano, Chilean folk legend Violeta Parra. We have Robert Frost reading his own poetry. We have Tom Hayden, who just passed just a few months ago. We have reports from Vietnam. We are the first radio network to be in North Vietnam.
Wow.
Recording, and it was quite a coup. We have Muhammad Ali from 1968 when he was banned from boxing for resisting the war in Vietnam. We have Joan Baez. We have the Highlander Folk School from the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, which is where Rosa Parks did some training. Dr. Martin Luther King did some training in the mid-1950s. We all know Rosa Parks would go on. They asked everybody in a circle at the Highlander Folk School, what do you think you're going to do in your community? When it came to Rosa Parks, she said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just know that things have to change.
Wow.
And she reports this in an interview that we have when she got out of jail when she did her bus boycott action.
You also have the recording with Fannie Lou Hamer after she had been
beaten within an inch of her death, of her life.
Why? Why was she beaten? Because she dared to...
To register blacks to vote in the South.
Yeah.
And here we are today, not even taking advantage of the right to vote, many of us. And people were literally losing their lives. They were being beaten. Can you imagine?
And lynched, yes.
Can you imagine going to register people to vote, which is a constitutional right, and being beaten to within an inch of your life, and or worse, you know, like Schwerner and Cheney being murdered?
Yes.
So the history in the Pacifica Radio Archives is really a very unique collection. But as you said, Christine, it's not only political activism. We have the first recording of Bob Dylan at age 20 in 1962 in studio performing an hour's worth of songs a month before his first solo record comes out. We have Miriam Makeba performing at the Coconut Grove here at the Ambassador Hotel, being introduced by Lena Horne live on KPFK. We have the only interview with John Coltrane. He never gave long interviews. He might have given a comment here and there. We have almost a full hour with him in 1966. It's a very famous interview and the only one of its kind. There are no lengthy interviews with John Coltrane. You can only find that in the Pacifica Radio Archives collection.
And you can only get that right now. You can only get that by calling
516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602. You can also pledge securely at WBAI.org. Give us a call, though. We have phone answers answering the calls as fast as they can at 516-620-3602.
Remember, folks, this was offered previously for $5,000 because it's now over 1,300 hours of content, the best of the best, and material. You will not get this anywhere else. Go look on Amazon if you want. You'll never find this anywhere else but right here. And not only do you get one of these USB drives, but if you call right now, they're going to get a second one. For free. They're going to add another one in so that you can give it to a young person, give it to a university, a high school, give it to young people who need to hear these voices. They need to know that it's okay to step and speak truth to power. As a matter of fact, it's all of our responsibilities. It is all of our responsibilities to step up and to speak truth to power.
516-620-3602.
I want to play another clip in particular. I want to play another one from 1984. Because, you know, I love it. Okay, here we go. We're going to go back to 1984.
What track?
This is the track four. It's the information control. Remember what I just said earlier?
Right.
They just passed something about that. Oh, fake news. Okay?
Looks eerily familiar to what we're going to hear right now.
Let's listen.
O'Brien was looking down at him speculatively. More than ever, he had the air of a teacher taking pains with a wayward but promising child. There is a party slogan dealing with the control of the past. Repeat it, if you please. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. Winston repeated it obediently. Who controls the present controls the past, said O'Brien, nodding his head with slow approval. Is it your opinion, Winston, that the past has real existence? Again, the feeling of helplessness descended upon Winston. His eyes flitted toward the dial. He not only did not know whether yes or no was the answer that would save him from pain, he did not even know which answer he believed to be the true one. O'Brien smiled faintly. You are no metaphysician, Winston. Until this moment, you had never considered what is meant by existence. I will put it more precisely. Does the past exist concretely in space? Is there somewhere or other a place, a world of solid objects where the past is still happening? No. Then where does the past exist, if at all? In records. It's written down. In records. And in the mind, in human memories. In memory. Very well, then. We, the party, control all records. And we control all memories, and then we control the past, do we not? But how can you stop people remembering things? Cried Winston, again momentarily forgetting the dial. It's involuntary. It is outside oneself. How can you control memory? You've not controlled mine. O'Brien's manner grew stern again. He laid his hand on the dial. On the contrary, he said, you have not controlled it. That is what has brought you here. You are here because you have failed in humility, in self-discipline. You would not make the act of submission, which is the price of sanity. You preferred to be a lunatic, a minority of one. Only the disciplined mind can see reality, Winston. You believe that reality is something objective, external, existing in its own right. You also believe that the nature of reality is self-evident. When you delude yourself into thinking that you see something, you assume that everyone else sees the same thing as you. But I tell you, Winston, that reality is not external. Reality exists in the human mind and nowhere else. Not in the individual mind, which can make mistakes and in any case soon perishes. Only in the mind of the party, which is collective and immortal. And whatever the party holds to be truth is truth. It is impossible to see reality except by looking through the eyes of the party. That is the fact that you have got to relearn, Winston. It needs an act of self-destruction, an effort of the will. You must humble yourself before you can become sane.
Oh, my God. I just got the chills big time, Mark.
I feel like I'm listening to like one of the campaign speeches.
I do, too.
Like
playing.
Like you see one thing and then you hear somebody say something completely different.
As this was playing, too, I was just looking at my notes here on my phone and the, this whole thing about the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act and how they're going to. I was just reading it, and I was just like, they just took a page. They literally just tore a page out of Orwell's 1984.
Let's do this.
And the party, as he was talking about, the party is really the government. Okay, I mean, if you need that help, folks, that was just a small, tiny snippet from a masterful, massive collection of audio history, of our history, of human beings that is being presented from the Pacifica Radio Archives. We only have a few minutes left, Mark, and the phone lines, all of the lines are busy, which is a great sign.
They're jammed, but keep calling.
We need at least 10 more people calling and getting this thank you gift. This is this is over 1,300 hours of content from the Pacifica Radio Archives. You will not find this anywhere else on the planet.
Nowhere.
It is only available here. It used to be, it was offered previously for $5,000, all of this content. And that was just for one collection, one of this, and that was 1,000 hours. Now you're getting not one, but two of these USB drives. You're getting a twofer for a mere $200 pledge. And there's even more hours in this. This is 1,300 hours, and you can put on your credit card. You keep one USB drive. You give one to someone else, to a high school, to a college. And included in this massive collection, Mark, is Black History Collection,
Women's history, the audiobooks, which is something that we've taken from the with the 1984, the audiobooks. There's music, there's comedy, there's spirituality with the entire Alan Watts collection, and it's only for a $200 pledge. Here is the number to call,
516-620-3602. You can also pledge securely at WBAI.org. Give us a call, though. We have phone answers answering the calls as fast as they can at 516-620-3602.
We have Howard Zinn 20 years before he wrote A People's History of the United States. In 1961, he was a teacher at Spelman College. Alice Walker was one of his students, and he gave a lecture that Pacifica Radio has a recording of, talking about Southern influence in politics back then. You know, Howard Zinn and his People's History of the United States is an epic book that is now used throughout all of classrooms. This is really the people's audio recordings of the United States history. And it goes back to 1949, and there's nothing like it in the world. And you have a chance of getting 1,300 hours of it. This is curated audio, the best in our collection. We really thought long and hard before putting this collection together, and you are the benefactors. Have a $200 donation. Gets not one of these, but two.
At 516-620-3602. And you know, the value of this, too, is to keep this alive. Because like in Orwell's 1984, we don't want the voices of Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X or Russell Means or Fannie Lou Hamer to go down the memory hole. Because remember, if they can control the information, if they can rewrite history, which they often do, they would love to. This is a way to keep truth alive. This is a way to keep truth, and this is the only way we can do it. This will empower
us to stand up.
And exactly.
There's going to be a lot of standing up that has to be done these next 4 years.
And stand up and walk over to your phone right now, because we have about 3 minutes to go, and that is just not enough time.
One phone line open.
We want everybody to call right now and pledge your support. Again, it's not $5,000. It's a mere $200 tax-deductible contribution.
Tax-deductible.
A great portion of it. But please, please call right now, and if you can pledge more, if you want to, you know, get 10 of these. Pledge $2,000 and get 10 of these. You're actually getting 20, okay? Because you're getting a 2-for-1. It's Voices That Change the World, the 2-for-1 USB drive, over 1,300 hours of content that you will never find anywhere else on the planet, only here because of the wonderful work, the dedication, and the decades of work that has been accomplished through the Pacifica Radio Archives, thanks to people like you. Let's preserve these voices. And please call your support right now.
516-620-3602. Give us a call right now. We have phone answers just rushing in to answer the phone calls. Please call 516-620-3602.
While we have an administration that has nothing but disdain for the free press, we have recordings from the student free speech movement at UC Berkeley from 1964 and 1965. Mario Savio, Bettina Apthecker, Joan Baez, Jackie Goldberg, so many of the figures, Tom Hayden, so many of the figures that were instrumental in gaining free speech on campus and bringing it up to a national conversation about free speech and the right to a free press. Came up at a time where they were trying to control information during the Civil Rights era and the Vietnam War. It looks like it's going to be heading in that direction again. We must know how to stand up to this. Listening to the hours and hours we have on the free speech movement where these students were standing up to power gives us inspiration and gives us a path to doing it today.
And again, this is listener-sponsored radio. This is something so unique across the dial. I know if you're listening in New York and you just scan the radio stations that are in your area, you're going to realize how unique WBAI really is. From music to news to public affairs, critical analysis in critical times right now that needs to be covered. This radio station needs to survive. Pacifica Radio Network needs to survive. And you can do your part to make sure that it stays around for years to come. The number to call is 516-620-3602. Again, it's 516-620-3602. And I will tell you, I have been working for Pacifica Radio for 15 years. And in my time, I have never seen such an incredible offering, especially from the Pacifica Radio Archives. They work diligently to restore tapes, to restore voices that must be preserved for generations to come. So you are helping not only this radio station, but also the Pacifica Radio Archives. You're helping them stay alive and well in these insane times. Do give us a call right now at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. For a $200 pledge, you're going to be getting not one, but two USB drives with 1,300 hours of content. Think about the wonderful road trips you'll have, and you can be listening to audiobooks if you're traveling long distances. Think about all of the music on this USB drive. Think of the poetry. Think of all of the brilliant voices and insights that you're going to be accessing for a mere $200 pledge. And you don't get one of them, you get two of these USB drives. It's a twofer, it's a two for one. It's an incredible deal, and we do not want you to miss it. So please give us a call right now at 516-620-3602. Our goal this hour is quite lofty, but we know that we can do it if everyone calls that number. 516-620-3602.
We're out of time for this hour, but I want to encourage you to keep calling. I'm going to go answer some phones
okay,
right now because the phone lines are just
jammed.
Just jammed.
Keep the phones ringing.
Keep the calls coming. Thanks, G and Master Control. Thank you, Mark Torres, so much as
My
always.
My pleasure.
I'm Christine Blasdale. Stay tuned for more Fun Drive programming coming your way.
Hola, mis amigos. My name is Chico Alvarez, and I'm the host of New World Gallery, which airs every Saturday at 3 p.m. on this station, WBAI. WBAI is listener-supported, commercial-free resistance radio. We challenge the norms and defy them. Let's break down what that really means. It means that no clandestine corporate entity can tell me how to do my show. It means that you, the listener, and the diverse WBAI community have a voice. It is a voice which reverberates across the tri-state area. But in order to keep providing you with the independent news, unique conversation, and groundbreaking arts content you rely on, we need your help. Donate by visiting givetowbai.org or pledge right now from your smartphone by texting the letters WBAI to the numbers 41444. And thank you for your support.
Nesta Robert Marley was a reggae superstar, an uncompromising champion of human rights, and a spiritual and political force throughout the world. Join the award-winning Midnight Ravers on Friday, July 21st, 2017, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as we proudly present our Summerthon special, Bob Marley, Before the Legend, The Early Seeds, as told by acclaimed actress and producer Esther Anderson. This special provides fresh insight into Marley, Chris Blackwell, Island Records, and Jamaica, and is the definitive story of Marley's early years. So listen and be edified, and show your financial support. That's Friday, July 21st, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. You know how we do it.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
On Sunday, July 23rd at 11 p.m., Shug in My Bowl presents bandleader, composer, alto and soprano saxophonist, flutist, imbira, sanza, and lukembe player, TK Blue. Join us as we discuss TK Blue's most recent release, Amor, and upcoming club dates. That's Sunday, July 23rd at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Fake news. Fake news. We'll be right back.
reach my freedom of speech and expressing myself, torching the symbol of oppression. Let that be a lesson to those that want suppression of the truth. Put on hold, the bold lose control, so they force obedience. Have you pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth? That's off the way I see it. Well, I'm going off berserk, cause the system works to jerk my people, the people all around the pigs work. Tell me I'm wrong, though, that's my right in this writing. The Constitution, yo, that's an illusion, huh? Suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they sure have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover, the red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm no lover of this flag, like many others take the same turn. Like me, they yearn for the flag too. Cause my hurt is internal, the American dream, a nightmare. I want the people to wake up to the lies the pigs make up. Imperialistic swans that I grind into bacon bits. Call it bits cause I ain't taking shit. I'm not a Nazi or a Cappy or a Farmy, but you want me in prison cause I'm busy attacking the flag. I rag it and snag it and drag it and rip it to shreds. Cause I'm too black, too strong, too red, too dread. And I'm dreaded cause I make the pigs tremble when I burn a symbol. Yo, I'm quick and nimble like Jack, but I'm a black man attacking the flag. I keep my torch handy, I'm no Yankee Doodle. So just hand me a flag from the fastest and watch me burn that piece up to ashes. Cause the real meaning is what the masses must learn. That's why the red, white, and blue must burn, baby, burn.
Radio station WBAI 99.5 FM New York.
I'm taking action on the system, thinking they slick, contradicting their own, taking me for a fool. They sent my man Joey to jail and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maim and mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass.
Sinker list alive right here. Burn, baby, burn. Flag burning time, make it 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. The number is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. We need 3 telephone calls at the $100 level to get us off the hump right here. Playing all your favorite music, playing all the music that they refuse to play in Imperialist USA. Make that $1,000 at 516-620-3602. Now. Take it from the top. Let me tell you something. This is very critical because of the fact that, the Empire State Building, these capitalist pigs that run that organization over there, they've been jacking up WBAI in an uncivilized manner, charging us, $2-3 million and say we owe that. And it's not even civilized. I mean, the bill is so huge. They're acting as if they don't want to cut a deal. They're acting as if they don't have a conscience. But there again, capitalist pigs never do have a conscience. But you do have a conscience. Yeah. Pablo Moses at 516-620-3602. You need to support the Militant Canary at the end of the tunnel, WBAI. Pacifica Radio at its very best. At the $100 level, 3 telephone calls. At the $1,000 level, 2 telephone calls. Financially challenged, make it $25 from 10 callers. 516-620-3602 from the top. Lick it back, Lister. This is Burn, Baby Burn. Clap on.
May look hard to do, but believe I once and twice. Then your love bound to grow.
The revolution never stops.
I dance from reggae again.
Never forget. Stupid eyes.